Okay, good morning, everybody. And if you have your Bibles, let's resume our studies here in the 13th chapter of the book of Matthew. And we're going down into our Lord's explanation of the parables here. And there's going to be several doctrines that we have to look at to understand exactly what our Lord is referencing. So, when we consider all these things, why did our Lord speak to the nation of Israel in parables? Because he who has an ear to hear and an eye to see, let him hear what the Spirit has to say unto the churches or unto the people. All right. As believers in Jesus Christ, we have the capacity to understand the Word of God because of the power of God, which we have through the Spirit of God that indwells us. Now, we've been over this many, many times in the recent months, and we've been kind of pouring over all of the foundational doctrines of the Bible as we work through Romans and Matthew and, Hebrews and all that kind of thing. But, really, we have one story throughout the Word of God, one theme. It's the redemption of man. Okay? And man cannot redeem himself. Right? We're redeemed because of the person and work of the Lord Jesus Christ, yet that's a foreign concept to man because man's born in a state where he cannot understand the things that are freely given to us of God because he's spiritually dead. You know, the natural man can't receive it. We're all born into the world. How? Naturally. We have to become spiritual beings. Now, that's why our Lord also says, he that is spiritual. Right? Now, if we're natural, we're not spiritual. If we're newborn babes in Christ, we're more natural than we are spiritual, though we be spiritually alive. Okay? So as we continue to grow in the things of the Lord, we become more and more spiritual by the knowledge of the Word of God that continually increases through the preaching of the Word of God. What is that? If we've made it our own, we've expressed what in it? Faith, right? Okay? How does faith come? By hearing and by the joint witness of the Spirit of God. So let's go to verse 36 here. Now, he says, when Jesus sent the multitude away and went into the house, okay? Now, of course, we can look at this two ways. The house of Israel. But where does the church meet? Well, we meet in a house, okay? Now, we may proclaim our message to the world. How do we do that? Well, the Lord says, make it available. So we have a website, okay, which right now is in the process of being revamped a little bit. I finally got a hold of Morgan, and we're going to fix some of the broken links and kind of make it easier to use. And hopefully I will understand more of how to do those things after we're done. I wish I had more knowledge of. You got to remember, when I was young, when I was Noah's age, we were using computers. And we, I think the first thing that I used on the internet was AOL. And I really don't even know what AOL was. All I know is you could chat with other people and make farting jokes and they'd laugh, because we were 16 years old. That doesn't mean you guys can say, farting jokes, okay, kids. I was just thinking about that. Man, we were dumb. Dumb back then. It was kind of nice for a little while not to have a care in the world, though, So I didn't grow up with, all this stuff and the understanding of it. And I didn't know anybody that could explain it to me and wasn't working with it. I had to take a class to learn it, I took a class at LCC about QuickBooks, took that for 2 years, so I learned how to account, which paid off because now I'm doing all the accounting at the mill and that kind of thing. But I have no idea how building a web page works, okay? All I know is I press a couple buttons and I can upload the messages on there, but how to manipulate the thing, somebody that is smarter than me has to do it, okay? So, I don't know where I got off telling you about the website. Where was I going with that one? Well, let's go back to the Word of God. That's always a good thing to do here. Fixing what? Oh, yeah, right. So I apologize about the broken links and stuff like that. Oh, I know what I was doing. We provide the Word of God to the world. We do that through our website. That's where I was going with that. Thank you. And we have a sign out front, and we have a church that's open to whosoever will may come. Okay. Now, is the entire Eugene Springfield area beating down our door? Well, if they were, we'd have to be bigger, but they're not. And I know we have some web traffic. There's a few hundred people that use our website. Now, I don't know what the spiritual state of those few hundred people are, but somebody's receiving the messages. So it's out there to be received. Do you suppose if God knows every soul that's going to be saved, okay? Think about this. This will help you understand the mind of God a little bit. If he knows every soul that's going to be saved, how does he know that? He's omniscient. So do you suppose any of those souls that he knows are going to be saved are not going to be saved? No, otherwise he wouldn't be omniscient and he'd be alive. Okay, so we have to take God for who he is. This is where we get misinterpretations of the scriptures or misapplications of the scriptures. People argue with me sometimes about verses 1 and 2 of the Bible in Genesis. In the beginning, God made what? The heaven and the earth. How do you suppose he made it? Perfectly. Okay? Now, what was eventually found in the earth? Corruption. Well, God can't be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man. All that God does is right. Shall not the God of all the earth do right? God cannot abide in the realm of that which is contrary to himself. The earth became without form and void. Okay? So, what, there was waters above and waters below, right? And darkness was upon the face of the deep. Well, the Lord is light. So an outside element had to come in, darkness. What do you suppose that was? Well, when Lucifer fell, he was the highest of the angels and fell because of his great his pride and his great beauty. And he denied God, and so therefore he fell into a state of sin. And he said, I will be the Most High. And one-third of the angels believed him. Okay? And where was he cast? He was cast into the earth. Okay? And so the earth and the creation were cursed with the sin of Lucifer. And so that speaks of mankind falling into sin. Well, what took place during the recreation story? Not the creation story, the recreation story. Well, there was waters upon the face of the deep and waters above so thick that the light could not be seen, though the light was present. Can man in his natural state see the light, the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ and his saving grace? No. He has to be enlightened. Faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. So the gods, God spoke and said what? Let there be light. Okay, and there was what? Light. And God said that it was good. There's none good but God. That speaks of the salvation of a soul. And what do we have in the beginning? Well, we have the fish and we have the birds of the air. The birds of the air are likened to the lie of the devil. So we have the devil in the world and we have the fish, which we see in the acrostic concerning our Lord, you know. So we have the Lord and we have the devil. Okay, light and dark. That theme has been present in just about every religion. In the Asian religions, you have yin and yang, you know, goodness and evil. Well, what does man think according to? Goodness and evil, according to God's counsel or his own? His own, right and wrong. Man's a moral being. And when God shows us the light, we see finally that we can't possibly please God by what we believe is right and wrong. We have to go his way. And we see who the way is. The way is the Lord Jesus Christ. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man cometh unto the Father but by me. And by him we are enlightened. So every time a soul is saved, God's saying, let there be light, and there is light. And he says that this is good. So that we have an eternal inheritance in heaven. It's preserved for us by the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, that cleanses us from all sin. All right? So we preach that in the world, and everyone in the world has, you know, in our general area can come, but not all will come. But those who will desire to know the things of God. I mean, why are you here? Are you here because the chairs are comfy or there's free coffee? You know? No, you're here because you want to know the truth. Otherwise, you would not have come. Okay? And for those who come to the door, Lord's going to do what? Open it up for you. Okay? So that's what we're seeing here. So Jesus sent the multitude away and went into the house, and his disciples came unto him, saying, declare unto us the parable of the tares in the field. What you're saying to me right now is, you know, I'm the pastor. I stand for the word of God. I'm not God, okay? But I'm his anointed. And so you're saying, declare unto me the things of God. Tell us what this means. You want to know the truth, okay? He answered and said unto them, he that soweth the good seed is the Son of Man. The field is what? The world, okay? So the word of God is broadcasted in the world. The good seed are the children of the kingdom. So where there was seed and where that seed was germinated, we had what? Life. What kind of life does our Lord give us? Eternal life. Yeah, that's right. Ionia. By the way, when you look at the map around Greece and you see the Ionian Sea, That means endless. Because at that time, they looked out there and they're like, boy, that's a big sea. It appears to be endless. Okay? Got to remember, they didn't have maps or satellites back then. And the first maps of the world, the Roman world, were kind of interesting. They got the roads right, but they did it by dead reckoning. Okay? So the Roman map was straight, but yet the Roman world is like, you know, all around the Mediterranean. But to them, they were walking straight. So if you look at the first Roman map, which shows Rome right smack dab in the middle, all roads lead to Rome, they got the roads right, but they didn't get the boot, and, you know, they got some of the coastline kind of okay, but it's basically a big straight line. It's kind of interesting. So the fields of the world, the good seed are the children of the kingdom, but the tares are the children of who? The wicked one. Now, how do you suppose we get, have you ever had a foreign plant growing in your garden and there's no other plants around that are like that one? And you ask yourself, where the heck did this seed come from? Who brought the seed in? The birds. Okay. What did the birds do to the wayside seed? They picked that seed up, right? Well, birds want to plant their own seeds. That bird speaks of the devil. Okay. Satan, in his undermining work, wants to plant his gospel into mankind, and he did so when he planted that seed in the Garden of Eden for the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Right? And we've been seeing the fruit of that tree in play ever since Adam ate of it. So, you know, I always say it this way. You know, people think the devil gets after them. When the devil's particularly on them or they're particularly weak, that means they're sinning the most in their life. Well, that assumes we're all created in the image of God, and we're not. We fell from that image when Adam ate from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. So we became like the one who caused the fall, and now we think like the one who caused the fall, naturally. Okay? By what I determined to be right and wrong, so it is. That's what the world thinks. So the gospel comes along, and, you know, naturally we think, oh, that sounds like a bunch of hogwash. Show me the proof. Then we sit here long enough, and the Spirit of God is active, and he blesses the truth to our heart and mind. Then we're like, aha, now I see the truth. I got all the evidence I need. That didn't happen naturally. That happened because of the power of God. But man thinks naturally. Okay. And so that tree was planted, and then man fell. And so man now operates in a way which seemeth right unto a man, which is contrary to the truth of the Word of God. It's a way of his own making, opposed to the counsel of God. So we're born into the world how? Dead in trespasses and in sin. Okay? That's a child of the general disobedience, Adam's disobedience. It's general because it's common to humanity. All right? So don't feel bad about the state you're in. Everybody else is in the same state. Now, we go through this. You know, Paul establishes the guilt of the Gentiles and the guilt of the Romans in Romans chapter 1, 2, and a little bit of 3. Okay? And it shows us what we are. Now, are we to be like, you know, oh, woe is me, oh, you know, really depressed about what we are? Well, sin can be kind of depressing sometimes. It can really throw a wrench in the works. Our lives can kind of be rough because of it sometimes. But then we look to the gospel of the saving grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. And our Lord and his work supersedes our work, so that we're accepted in the beloved based upon the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, that cleanses us from all sin. So the negative that we understand about us in the sin is canceled out by our Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us on the cross of Calvary. You know, who's more thankful? Him that has a small debt and it's paid off, or him that has a big debt and it's paid off? A big debt. And the world's got a big debt to pay. Can anybody pay it? No. We need one to stand in our stead and pay it for us. Now, if someone was to pay off your $1 million debt and there was no way north of Alaska that you're going to possibly pay that debt off all the way through your life, and you're about to go to debtor's prison for it, okay, are you going to be pretty darn thankful if that person pays your debt? Your reaction might be this: what would you have me to do? Okay. And as believers in Jesus Christ, our debt's been fully paid off. We're standing in the grace of God as believers. Right? So what happens? Because we understand what we were and what we continue to be, and now we're viewed to be as righteous as Christ is righteous, we have reciprocal love for our Lord Jesus Christ, you know, even though we're completely unlovely. God could have created us to automatically perform his will, but God's attributes had to be fulfilled, right? And we are the efforts of those attributes. Okay, so he says here, the field is the world, the good seed are the children of the kingdom, but the tares are the children of the wicked one, and the enemy that sowed them is the devil. The harvest is the end of the age, says world here, but at the end of the age, we're going to see all these things happen. We're speaking of the rapture, when the main harvest is going to take place of souls, and the reapers are the angels. Now, I want to turn to Ephesians chapter 2 and look at this real briefly, and then Matthew 12, 30. Portion of scripture we should all be pretty darn comfortable with by this point. Our state that we abide in when we're born into the world. So he says in verse 1, and you hath he quickened who were what? Dead. Well, why are we dead? The soul that sinneth, it shall what? Die. Okay? Now, we died spiritually in Adam. God's a spirit. They that worship him must worship him how? In spirit and in truth. We cannot understand the witness of the Spirit of God that abides within us. We're going to look at that here in a little bit. Aside from being spiritually alive ourselves. Okay? That's why at the beginning of the message, I said that God has equipped us with that which was necessary to understand the truth of the Word of God, that all things might be of him, to him, and through him. Now these can be kind of lofty concepts at first, but let me break it down for you here, okay? So we are born dead in trespasses and in sin, wherein in times past you walked according to what? According to the way of the cosmos. That's the order of things after the fall, right? The fall of Lucifer put into the world a state of corruption, and in mankind we received that corruption in Adam through the lie of the devil in the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. So now we abide in a way which seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are what? The ways of death. Okay. According to the prince of the power of the air, that's Lucifer, we call him Satan now, the spirit that now worketh in the children of the disobedience. The definite article is there before disobedience. We were all born that way. Disobedient to God because we didn't know the truth. The word had to be engrafted to us, kind of like a tree and a branch being grafted to the tree. It had to be added to us because we were not born with it. Among whom also we had our conversation, that's our manner of life, in times past, in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others, or children of disobedience. The same word is present there, as we see in the above verse. Okay? So we're just bebopping through life, doing whatever we thought fitting for us, trying to find some kind of fulfillment. You know, I go to a quote-unquote man's clinic to get my testosterone injections each month, or each week. Now you know why I am what I am. You know. I'm teasing. I am a hairy beast, yeah, yeah. I don't know what happened. The last few years, I've got hair growing out my ears, hair growing on my neck, hair growing out my nose. So my wife told me the other day, like, you got a lot of hair in your ear. I'm like, well, I can't see it. Why don't you cut it out there for me? So it's because I'm 45. That's right. Yeah, or will be this week. Okay. When's my birthday? May 10th? I try to forget it. All right. So where was I going with this? Here we go. Okay. So we're born into a spiritually dead state. All right? We need to be made alive. Okay? Now, it's not your fault. But the gospel's available to everyone. So we operated according to a way which seemeth right. That's the way of the cosmos, which is the order of things after the fall. Okay? And we have the intervention of God in verse 4, who's rich in what? The first thing that is declared here is that he's a God of mercy. Why? Because what do we deserve? Condemnation. We deserve hell. But no, no, God's a God of mercy. For his what? Great love wherewith he loved us. How lovely are we? I'm a bad husband. You know, pertaining to my relationship with God, you know. I'm a bad man. I'm not good. You know, we want to marry a nice young lady and a strapping young man in the natural, don't we? Sure we do. Okay? But God loved us when we were unlovable. Why? Because we couldn't even understand who he is. All right? We saw what we desired to be God in the natural, and what we desire to be God in the natural is us. So why do you suppose man's continually trying to be like God? So we can say, look at me, God, I'm like you. And that's what people are going to say when they stand before him, when they're at the great white throne judgment. Did not I do this? You do it. Did not I do that? You do it. Did not I do all these things? You said it. Look at me. That's what was received from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. That I can make myself fit for God's presence by emulating him, according to my own counsel, though. Okay? Now, Paul said a lot of things like, be as I am, that kind of thing. Of course, we have all these self-righteous preachers from the pulpit saying, Paul was a just man. Paul had just as much sin as you and I. What he was talking about is, be as I am in faith. In Paul, we see a plenty of his own confession. He said of himself, in me is what? Not a single good thing. Paul was very much conscious of his sins. Oh, wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? He was saying, be as I am in faith, because when he's weak, he's strong. Christ Jesus died for his sins just like he died for ours. Okay? And if we stand upon our Lord Jesus Christ and the promises of God, then the gates of hell cannot prevail against it. We're not bound for hell. We have a heavenly inheritance. Okay? So even when we were unlovely or dead in sins, verse 5, hath he what? Made us alive, quickened, together who with who? We're joint heirs with Christ. By what? Grace are you saved. Now, where did I tell you to go after that? Matthew chapter, I got it written down over here in Matthew 13. Matthew 12:10, I think it is. 12:30. 30:30. Let's back up here quite a bit, actually. Matthew 12:22. Now, what did the Jews accuse our Lord of being? A sinner. They wanted to condemn him, but in him was no sin at all. So let's read what they do here. This is 22, yes. Then was brought unto him one possessed by a demon, blind and dumb, and healed him insomuch that the blind and dumb both spake and saw. I apologize. I've got a King James here, and I've got corrections for the words the translators used often written on top of the word, and sometimes I just read that, and I don't explain to you that what he was, by devil, which we read here, what should have been written is demos, which is demon in the Greek, okay? So he's possessed by a demon, and you know, people ask me about demon possession all the time. Is demon possession real? You betcha it is. You know, sometimes I wonder if a lot of these crazy people that want to shoot up a bunch of children or something like that are possessed with demons. Sometimes I wonder if we're seeing that with the demoniacs we see downtown Eugene, you know? Have you not seen a lot of really crazy people around recently? There's been plenty. That's right, just go to Washington. Or look at a picture of Tina Kotek. That is our governor, right? Unfortunately. All right. Boy. Yeah. So, but have you noticed that there's been druggies around for forever? But now we've got people out of their minds yelling at the clouds, you know? Yeah. So it makes you wonder. Demon activity in the latter part of this age is supposed to increase vastly. Okay? So, you know, people have been committing crimes for years and years and years, but until recently, we haven't had psychopaths going in and shooting up a bunch of elementary school children. So, you know, I don't know. I know we're protected from these forces, but they're in the world, okay? This is why we're not supposed to mess around in the spiritual realm, all right? So, yeah, Ouija boards and that kind of thing, we abide in the truth. Of course, you can get just as much trouble messing around in the world, you know. So, he was blind and dumb and healed him in so much that the blind and dumb both spake and saw. And all the people were amazed and said, is this not the son of David? But the Pharisees heard it, and they said, this fellow doth not cast out demons, but by Beelzebub, or the power of Satan, the prince of the devils. So what did they do right there? They witnessed the truth of the Spirit, okay? Because no man can do these things except the Spirit of God be in him, okay? And they said he did it by the power of Beelzebub, right? That's blasphemy against the Holy Spirit. Now listen up. And Jesus knew their thoughts and said unto them, every kingdom divided against itself is brought to desolation, and every city or house divided against itself cannot stand. If Satan cast out Satan, he is divided against himself. How shall then his kingdom stand? And if I by Beelzebub cast out devils or demons, by whom do your children cast them out? Therefore, they shall be your judges. But if I cast out demons by the Spirit of God, then the kingdom of God is come unto you. Now, if the kingdom of God is, I love it when you get preachers that get up there and say, we're getting into some kingdom teaching. This is higher than the law. So everybody listen up. Why did they continually talk about the kingdom being present? John the Baptist, behold, the king, the kingdom of God is present. Because the king is present. No king, no kingdom. Okay? What are we going to be like in the kingdom? Sinlessly perfect. We're going to be in our glorified form. So do we need this higher level of teaching to learn how to act while we're in the kingdom? No, we're going to be endowed with that power upon our resurrection. So, you know, people get these things so messed. It's always, oh, here's something you can do to make yourself better. Well, God says we're no damn good. Otherwise, he wouldn't have had to come and save us. You know, we're hanging by a thread on a cliff, and he reaches his hand over and pulls us up. If it weren't for him, we'd be dead. Okay? So, or else how can one enter in a strong man's house and spoil his goods, except first bind the strong man, and then he will spoil his house. He that is not with me is what? Against me. Okay? Whatsoever is not of faith is what? Sin. Right? He that is not with me is against me, and he that gathereth not with me scattereth abroad. Of course, the nation was going to be scattered against into the various countries and lands of the world, buried in. So we're going to get into what a child of the devil really is here. Wherefore I say unto you, all manner of sin and blasphemy. What is blasphemy? That which is contrary to the truth. Okay. Shall be forgiven unto men, but the blasphemy against the Holy Ghost shall not be forgiven unto men, and whosoever speaketh a word against the Son of Man, it shall be forgiven unto him. You know, have you ever made a Jesus joke prior to your salvation? Kind of poking fun at him? You know, those weird Christians and stuff. Well, yeah, you know, we do this kind of stuff all the time. You know, what is that? It's carnal sin. It's under the blood. All right. Never to be remembered against me again. When I was prior to being a Christian, and you know, somebody said something about churches being silly or Christians being silly or Jesus being stupid, I may have said something in like manner, though I had a bit of respect for the existence of God all my life. I didn't know him until I was saved. I may agree with that person. Was I speaking words against Jesus? Sure I was. But until I saw the light, I didn't know, you know. And so those sins are under the blood. But he's speaking of a different sin here. Shall be forgiven unto him, but whosoever speaketh against the Holy Ghost, it shall not be forgiven, neither in the this world, neither in the world to come. Now, a believer in Jesus Christ does not need to be concerned about blasphemy against the Holy Spirit. Okay? Why? Because greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. Okay? We can have somebody tell us that God doesn't exist, And we can't possibly deny that if we're a believer in Jesus Christ, because the power of God resides in us. Okay? Now, I'm going to kind of put some things together here for you if I have time. I always wish there was a little more time. 11:50 already. Turn with me to 1 Corinthians 2. Now, how did you come to know Christ as your Savior? You heard the truth, right? And you said, yep, that's for me. All right. What was going on when you said, yep, that's for me? Or, aha, or now I see. For me, it was like, wow, you idiot. I've been hearing this for years. Now I finally understand it. I kind of took it a little bit personally that I finally saw what Pastor Andre was talking about. What I did not realize was until that day, God's Spirit had not come upon me to bear witness with me that I do belong to Him through His Word. Okay? So it wasn't me that was being stupid. I didn't have the spiritual capacity to understand it, because until that day, I was spiritually dead. So I could not have communion with the Holy Spirit within me, His Spirit bearing witness with my spirit that I'm His. Now read this. Let's see, verse 9. But as it is written, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard. Okay, so we're talking about man in his natural state. Neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for him that love him. Well, what has God prepared for us? Eternal salvation, right? A heavenly inheritance. Well, we can't receive it by eye or ear. Okay? Yet we have the biblical scholars of the world and the famous preachers of the world saying, if you just have the right angle, if you just have the right program, if you have all the schooling and all the basketball and all the, you know, parenting classes and all the singles classes and all the everything in the church, you'll get them in and they'll hear the gospel and they'll be saved. Well, that's no different than what the apostles did when they chose Matthias to be the 13th apostle, or the 12th apostle, excuse me. All right? When we read the book of Acts, what is the book really called? The Acts of the what? Apostles. Who do we read about mostly in Acts? Peter and Paul. So they said, this scripture must needs be fulfilled. Well, whose responsibility is it to fulfill scripture? God's. Okay? We water. Okay? We plant. But who gives the increase? God does. Okay? So they chose Matthias, but Paul was the chosen vessel. He was the apostle unto the Gentiles. Okay? So man wants to wrest things, put things in his own control, and he builds a big church, and he builds a playground and a basketball court and has all these classes and programs and attaches a school to it, and everybody comes for all those things, and they feel like they have to come to the church services too, so they do sometimes, so they say, we saved all these souls. But how many are saved within those organizations? I'm going to say few to none. No? All right, so what does he say here? But God has done what? Revealed. If something is revealed, it's what first? Hidden. It was what? Excuse me. It was what first? That helps. Help you answer the question a little bit there. Do you not read my mind, guys? Come on. Okay. If something has to be revealed, it was what prior to the revelation? Hidden. Okay? If something's hidden, we can't see it. All right? It's before a veil. So the truth was revealed. How was it revealed? Let's read on. But God has revealed them unto us by His what? His Spirit. For the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. For what man knoweth the things of a man, save the spirit of man which is in him? Even so, or in like manner, the things of God knoweth what? Or who? No man, but by the Spirit of God. Okay? So, by the Spirit of God, we know the things that are freely given to us of God. Now, we have received not the spirit of the world. Okay? What does the spirit of the world say? It says, do good, get good. Come by your own way. a way which seems right. Okay? So we're...
She is.
Yeah, she's saying amen. Yeah, that's right. So we're born with that spirit, but the spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. Now, how does that work? We'll turn to John chapter 14. John 14. All right, verse 16, and I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another what? Paracletos. You're supposed to know that by heart, right? Okay, a paraclete, one called alongside to help. All right? If I don't understand a legal doctrine, okay, because legalese can be the most difficult language in the world to understand. it's Greek to me. All right? I need an interpreter. All right? I may have the capability to understand it, but I need someone to show me. Now, the moment we're saved, we're given the capability to understand the truth of the Word of God, but we need someone to show us. We're spiritually alive. We can have spiritual communion with God. God's a spirit. They that worship him must worship him how? In spirit and in truth. So we require someone to show us the way, okay? Because we can't know it naturally, like we just read over there in 1 Corinthians. So the Spirit of God's going to come that he may abide with you. How long? He'll never leave you. Forever. Even the spirit of what?
Truth.
The truth. So what does the Spirit of God work in or operate in? In the truth. Okay? And the truth shall what? Make you free. Okay? Whom the world cannot receive, so the world can't receive the truth, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him, but ye know him, for he dwelleth in you and with you and shall be in you. I will not leave you comfortless. What does the truth provide? Insight, knowledge, knowing, peace, comfort. Okay? We have the whole world going after this and going after that, and a boy's a girl and a girl's a boy. What are they trying to do? They're trying to find purpose, hope, and truth. But they're not going to find it aside from the truth of the Word of God by the witness of the Spirit of God. So he said, I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you yet a little while, and the world seeth me no more. But ye see me, because I live, ye shall live also. At that day ye shall know that I am in my Father, and ye in me, and I in you. He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, okay? We're not talking about the Ten Commandments. We're talking about the truth concerning his person and work. He it is that loveth me, and he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him and manifest myself to him. Judas saith unto him, not Iscariot, Lord, how is it that thou wilt manifest thyself unto us and not unto the world? Jesus answered and said unto him, if a man love me, he will keep my words, or make the truth my own or your own, and my Father will love him, and we, okay, now we're talking about the Godhead, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, will come unto him and make our, the Trinity, abode with him. So we're indwelled by God. He that loveth me not keepeth not my sayings, and the word which ye hear is not mine, but the Father's which sent me. Remember, God the Father is the mind of God, the counsel of God, the purpose of God, the plan of God. God the Son executes all of it. That's his office. Okay. These things I have spoken unto you, being still present with you, but the Paracletos, the Comforter, the Holy Spirit, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall do what? Teach you all things. And do what else? Bring all things to your remembrance. Do you want to know why I can do this every day without notes? Power of the Spirit of God. Why do you suppose we pray for the power of the Spirit of God to be on me prior to the service and on you? Because we believe God and we believe that he's going to come through with it. He has the power to do that which he promised. Okay? So we know things because of the witness of the Spirit of God. Now faith comes how? By hearing. And hearing by the Word of God. All right, so it's like we're hearing some legalese, and the Spirit of God's, you know, our attorney comes over and says, you know, this is what it means. That's right. And you say, oh, okay, cool. I'm glad I hired you. I'm glad you're with me. You know, well, I'm glad the Spirit of God is with me. Without the Spirit of God, I wouldn't be able to do what I do or know what I know. You know, neither would you. Turn to Romans 8, Romans chapter 8. Now we sang that song this morning, He Leadeth Me. Okay. Well, how does God lead us? By His Spirit. Teaches us all things and shows us all things. Verse 14. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, that would be you and I, are what? We're the sons of God. We inherit the kingdom of heaven. For you have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear. That came by the law. Okay. But you have received the spirit of what?
Adoption.
Okay. Remember, we're joint heirs with the Lord Jesus Christ, whereby we cry Abba or Daddy. You know? So where do we go for our source of comfort and truth as children? To our Father. Where do we go for as a source of comfort and truth as children of God? To our Heavenly Father. Daddy. Okay? And we talk to God, just talk to Him like He's your dad. You know, we don't need to get, I can't stand it when, and I know why they do it. A lot of pastors will have a mid-sermon prayer. We're going into some difficult scripture. You know, and if you're going to do that, just say, Lord, you know, give us the things you have for us here. We don't know them. You know, guide us in the truth. But they say, oh, great and wonderful, glorious, mighty God. We know your power is so great and mighty and wonderful and glorious. And let's say it twice because, you know, maybe he didn't hear the first time. They'll butter him up first. Well, when you were buttering it up, your dad, what were you about to do? Pull the wool over his eyes. And that's what they do in the churches too. Okay? So I can't say, yeah. Do you suppose God knows that he's great and glorious? Sure he does. You know, just come to him like a son to a father. You know, you got respect for him. You know him as Savior. And he loves you because he gave himself for you. So, all right. So the Spirit bears witness with our spirit that we're the children of God. So what happened when you were saved? You realize you're a child of God. Well, who bore witness that you were? Who told you that? The Spirit of God did. Okay? So the Spirit bears witness with our spirit that we are the sons of God. And if children, then what? Heirs. Heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with him, that we may also be glorified together. Now he says, for I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. For the earnest expectation of the creature or the created thing waiteth for the manifestation of the sons of God. All right, so we are awaiting our heavenly inheritance. Now, turn with me to Romans chapter 23. Or Matthew 23, excuse me. Matthew 23. Oh boy. I'm already going over. Oh, I'm 5 minutes over, guys. I want to keep going. Let's go to Matthew chapter 23 next week, much to the chagrin of John. Let's bow our heads in a word of prayer. It's going to take me 15 minutes to explain this, and I don't want to keep you here all day, so... this is why I have this clock down here, so hopefully we can get rid of all the clocks in the church, and then we won't have to worry about the time. All right. But you have lives, too. Okay. Let's bow our heads in a word of prayer. Our dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for the indwelling presence of the Spirit of God. We thank you that we know the Lord by the presence of the Spirit of God, and the world can't understand these things because they're spiritually dead. There's a way which seemeth right unto the world, but the end thereof are the ways of death. And so we're preaching the message of salvation to the world so they do not have to endure that eternal death. And Lord, we know that we cannot commit a sin that's unpardonable, which is blasphemy against the Holy Spirit, because we received the just words of our Lord Jesus Christ when he said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man cometh unto the Father but by me. And our Lord says, I shall be in you and never leave you nor forsake you, which guarantees the fact that we can never be cast into hell. And we pray that we remain a sound church, very grounded in the truth of the Word of God, with our building quickly fastened to the rock that we cannot be moved by the winds and the shifting sands and the rain. We thank you, Lord, for these things. Just ask that you keep us strong in the faith and the power of His might, that we might be orderly and at peace within the church and within the doctrines of our Lord Jesus Christ. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.